Broadcasting from the WEEM studios, underwritten by Community Hospital Anderson, this is the Arabian Sports Network, 91.7 WEEM Pendleton.
The Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
My name is Ryan Davis. I'm joining me is Michael Hooker in the ASN Coaches Show. Right now we'll take a recap of what happened last night against NewPal. So Michael, in the 42-14 loss, what were a few good things that the Rabies did, and what are the few things that they could work on going to homecoming next week?
Well, starting off with the bad, I think they need to just come out harder off the rip. We saw a good defensive first drive, but the offense kind of stalled, which didn't help much. So I think defense, they're coming out strong first play. That's pretty good for a defensive standpoint and setting the tone like, yeah, we're here to play. But offensively, they had a challenge in that defensive front and those defensive coverage. I mean, it was just all around. It was hard to beat them. And it showed that first play. But I think them coming out hard is one of the big things. But switching over to the good things, like I said, the defense had a great first drive. Almost three and outing that amazing, amazing offense for New Palestine. And although they got a lucky fake punt for a good gain of yardage, the defense still held them right after that. So I think that was a good point off of them.
As you said, coming out strong, how does Coach Richmond implement that on how important it is to come out strong in the game and score or even stop the team?
I think that's very important. I think that's a message that he sends to his team. Like, we can play with any team that we choose to play with. If we come out and we play hard and we play every play like it's our last play, I think we can run with any team and stop any team.
Yeah, Isaiah Thacker having 146 yards and one touchdown. How is just that type of guy just one of the hardest people to play with, play against? Just his route running was just great last night.
It sets the tone to that secondary, like, yeah, you guys are good, but this kid is better and he will tear you guys apart. And that showed last night. It was a challenge. He was a problem, and it was hard overall to cover him, especially for Nolan Souders. He tried his best, and in my opinion, he did good at the start, bad at some points, but better in others. And him having that challenge, I think he showed, like, he can run with them a little bit.
So on the defense, Siddiqui Chayor and Tucker Barnes, because Peyton Pollock was not playing, sadly, last night, going up against two D1 commits, how is just that just so much more difficult from them playing against Newcastle or Greenfield Central last few weeks?
I think that gives them a different look at things. Siddiqui is an amazing talent, can get to the quarterback with ease against some teams, not with ease against others. And NewPal was one of those teams where he couldn't get there with ease. He had a rough challenge with the four-star recruit in Isaiah Moore, or Ian Moore, that is my mistake, but he had a tough challenge early on. He was going up against him, and it looked like, yeah, he may have a challenge, but he can still work with him. And he did manage on one play to get him on his back, which I think sets the tone for the defense. Like, Siddiqui is a man of terror on that defensive front. And Tucker Barnes not having the greatest game, struggling a little bit, but that was a good offensive line. And it's a tough challenge for the defensive front.
So Nolan Souders having that clutch pick in the second quarter, how does that change the mentality for the offense and the defense for the next drive?
I think that changes the mentality. Like, okay, we just turned over the ball, but we got it right back. So let's go out there and let's do something with it. Let's do something with that. And the offense did just that. And I'm pretty sure they scored their first touchdown of the game off of that pick. So that pretty much said, defense, we'll get you opportunities. Just go out there. You make the play. All right. Just, you know. And for the defense, I think that, you know, that energized them back up. I think they were like, yeah, we picked them off. Let's go do it again. Or let's force a fumble. Or let's get a sack for a loss of, like, 15 yards.
Yeah, Danny Tippett having 312 yards, 280 of them being in the first half. How does that just show on how dominant this new Palestine Dragons is?
It shows really how dominant they are. They're number four in the state for a reason. And Daniel Tippett, not being the tallest quarterback, only 5'9", still going out there and throwing for 300 yards in a game against a pretty decent secondary, in my opinion. That says a lot about him and how his receivers adjust for him and how he adjusts for them. He has a lot of trust in his receivers. They have a lot of trust in him, and he trusts his O-line to keep him safe. So I think that shows a lot for him.
So going into the offense, on those first drive for the Arabians, they had Isaac Wilson had two straight sacks. How does that just change the mentality for the whole team and the entire game, just coming off the bat?
Well, I think that sets the tone that it's not just going to be a cakewalk first drive. They're awake. They're ready to play. We need to be awake and ready to play. We need to be ready to be sound. Michael Thacker, only a sophomore coming off that edge, being a problem all night, hard to contain him, and they kept flipping him on sides of the field all night. And that defensive front, not to discredit the other two guys, but Michael Thacker is an amazing player, and those two guys were getting back there too. So I think that says a lot to that offensive front and to Isaac, that they trust each other a lot, but I think they need to gain more trust and be able to rely on each other.
So Isaac Wilson having a rough start in the first half, coming out in the second half, had a great second half, actually. He had 69 yards in passing and 135 yards, excuse me, in passing, but then rushing, I mean, he was breaking tackles, going around everyone. He had actually a 19-yard rushing touchdown also. What had to happen in that halftime locker room that changed the mentality for him and even the entire offense?
I think Richmond sat down with the whole team and said, you guys aren't playing the best right now, and I know you guys can run with these guys. The score doesn't show it right now, but right now, this half, it's 0-0. We're going to go out there, and we're going to play our butts off. And I think that went straight to Isaac, and he was like, okay, I can do this. And him being able to come out and pass for 135 yards is pretty good for him, because he's been struggling recently, but him proving like, yes, I can pass the ball and run the ball. And I think that says a lot about the quarterback situation that we have right now.
So Jalen Jordan having four catches, 49 yards. Caden Sims with three catches for 40 yards and a touchdown. And then Nate Duroff and Reese Reddington following behind them. How does just the full core of the wide receivers, how did the full core of the wide receivers deal with this good secondary of the New Pal Dragons?
Well, it showed the New Pal Dragons, we don't have one main guy that we go to. For New Pal, it's Isaiah Thacker. He's an amazing receiver. For us, we don't have that main guy, and for us having those four guys, Nate Duroff only being a sophomore, Caden and Reese being juniors, and Jalen being a senior, having them as our four main receivers is a good message for any defense. Like, we can sling it to any one of these four guys, so you better watch out.
So that would do it for the first segment of the Ace and Coaches Show. Up next, Ian Stevens sat down in an interview, 91.7 WEEM.
This presentation of the Arabian Sports Network is underwritten by Citizens State Bank. Citizens State Bank offers personal and business banking loans and investing services. Citizens State Bank has hours Monday through Saturday with a 24-hour drive-up ATM located at 129 South Pendleton Avenue and online at mycsbin.com.
This is your captain. We are going to be experiencing some slight turbulence. Please fasten your... Oh, hold on. Just got a video of my cat.
Imagine the pilot of an airplane was as confident as you are texting and driving. Seems kind of crazy when you put it like that.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Back to the ASN Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
Coach Davey of Arabian Girls Soccer for the ASN Coaches Show here on 91.7 WEEM. But Coach, thank you for joining me.
Thanks for having me, Steven.
So far this season, your team's sitting at 7-4 on the year. You started out very hot with some games and then dropped a couple along the way. But how has the season been to this point?
It's been a roller coaster of a season. It's been a good season. I think when we look back on it, we started off the season against couple top ranked Fishers and Garen Catholic, and played decently well against them, and then got into some more like common opponents and played well. And then this past week, we three conference opponents that we took care of business with. So to this point, I'm proud of where we're at. One tough loss against Shelbyville that we don't want to remember, but we've been playing well of late and starting to gel at the right time.
So as you were speaking on the conference, they are 4-1 in the conference. You have two games remaining. But how has the conference season been so far?
It's been good so far. We had a good, solid win against a good Greenfield Central team. We had a couple girls out against our next opponent, Shelbyville, that really challenged us to move some girls around and try and continue to keep the high quality. For whatever reason, we weren't able to play as well that game, and so that was our only conference loss so far. And then this week with three conference games in a row, it's always tough. No matter the conference competition or what level, three games in a week is going to challenge you. And we saw a little bit on Tuesday against Yorktown, trying to come back against day after playing Delta. And we saw our energy level a little low in the first half, but we were able to pick it up as the game went along and secured a win. And then last night against Newcastle, we're able to pick up the third of the week in a good team win fashion.
So then Liza DeShong, just a freshman, but definitely been a stellar player out on the field for you guys so far this season. What can you talk about her instant impact to the team this season?
Liza is just a phenomenal talent. We don't see a lot of talent like this come around very often. I'm not even sure she knows how talented she is or can be. But the skill that she has, the speed that she has, and those are two big components as a forward for us. And we can play to her, we can play through her, and she just opens up a lot of stuff for our team and opens up a lot of stuff for herself.
And then earlier this season, a very remarkable kind of milestone for her, got her first hat trick of her high school career. No easy task at all, but what was it like just being able to witness that?
It's just the speed that she has and the ability to just get that second gear and blow by a defender is always remarkable. And one thing that Liza possesses is just a cool, calm, and collective demeanor. And so a lot of times I always tell the story of when I played middle school basketball, I had a breakaway and I'd always miss the layup because it's a lot of pressure on you with those defenders running you down. And Liza, I think, thrives on that pressure and is just calm as can be to put the ball away.
And then another freshman I mentioned, Priscilla Burahas, your goalie. She's been outstanding this year, only averaging around two goals a game. But just how has she been able to stand in there and really help you guys defensively?
Yeah, Priscilla's done a really good job this year so far. She's been a leader from the back line and has done really well. So we're super proud of Priscilla and her play as just a freshman. But also, her back line has done a really good job for her of Ellie Manchez and Olivia Hart, another freshman, have done a good job of making it easy on her as well.
And then another player to mention, Zoe Welch, a senior midfielder for you guys. Doesn't score as much as maybe some of the other players, but she definitely has the assist numbers up there, 7, really setting up the offense. But what have you seen out of her growth with her time here at Pendleton Heights?
Yeah, for sure. Zoe came in, transferred in last year as a junior, and got a little bit of time here and there. And then this year as a senior has really stepped it up. But we talked to all the girls about finding your role on the team. And Zoe, she knows she's maybe not a goal scorer, but although she did have a very nice goal against Yorktown this week, but she understands that she's kind of that quarterback in the midfield. Is she receives it and finds that player running through, or finds that open pass that leads to a lot of goals for us.
Then your team, they have a couple captains, a couple of them seniors, but how have the captains really kind of organized and been leaders of the team so far this season?
Yeah, Caitlin Prickett and Ellie Manches have done a phenomenal job throughout the season, but also through the off season of keeping the girls connected and keeping them on the same page. It's not always easy having 36 girls on the same page, but those two have done a phenomenal job, and super proud of their growth and their maturity as leaders of our program.
And then speaking of one of the captains, Caitlin Prickett, second in the leading goals right now with 7. But what type of shots has she been getting so far this season?
Caitlin can get about any shot she wants, but she does a really good job of getting that shot from distance, which attracts a lot of that defense to step up to her, and then allows Liza to run in behind as well. And so Caitlin's shots from distance have been a crucial part of our offense, and she snuck a few in this past week.
And then just as we were kind of talking about conference earlier, you have 2 games left in your conference season, kind of closing out your season here at the end of the month, but you'll see New Pal and Mount Vernon, both of those teams sitting right above you, second and first place in the conference. So what's it going to take to kind of rally in on those guys and try to knock them off and get that number one threshold?
Yeah, that's been our goal all offseason, all year, since last year. We're right there. It's coming together as a team. And it sounds silly, but just believing that we can. Taking those experiences from Fishers and Garen Catholic and North Central, teams, high level teams, top 20 teams that we can compete with, and believing in yourself that you can go out and get the job done. And 2 tough teams in the last 2 weeks of our season. But like I said, I think we're playing our best soccer right now. And so if we can continue to keep our mind right going into those last 2 opponents, I think we can achieve that goal that we've set for ourselves.
And as you were speaking on a minute ago, your team's really been at it all off season, really since last winter. I remember walking through the hallways and seeing you guys in there just getting a lift in or a workout after school. But how is this group bonded together to hold what they have right now?
Yeah, it's not always easy when you have a large upper class and then a large freshman class coming in, and it's just kind of 2 different worlds. And so they've done a really good job of growing together. Some days are easier than others, and they know that. And I'm really proud of where we're at. We've gone through a lot through the season and through the off season, and to be where we're at right now, it takes a lot of maturity and a lot of growing, and they've done a really good job of doing those 2 things.
Well, Coach Davey, thank you for joining me, and good luck this season.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
But when we come back, we'll have our next segment here on the ASN Coaches Show, 91.7 WEEM.
This presentation of the Arabian Sports Network is underwritten by Detour Salon and Style. Detour Salon and Style provides women, men, and children haircuts, skincare, and spa services on Facebook and Twitter, or at DetourSalonAndStyle.com. Detour Salon and Style, 1816 East 53rd Street in Anderson, 765-400-5323, or at DetourSalonAndStyle.com.
Investing in education-based athletics builds strong communities and a strong, successful Indiana.
That's because when we support education-based athletics, we're not only supporting Hoosier student athletes, we're championing the next generation of doctors, CEOs, and engineers, not to mention future teachers, first responders, and civil servants. I'm Brian Lewis.
And I'm Chris Kaufman. We're both assistant commissioners of the Indiana High School Athletic Association.
High school sports are the training ground for our future community leaders, impact makers, and world changers.
When we invest in student athletes, we're teaching them the importance of serving others selflessly,
leading them to become engaged, compassionate citizens who pay it forward and continue building a positive future for Indiana and beyond.
Support the next generation of Hoosier difference makers by buying a ticket to your high school's athletic events.
This is serving our community. This is strengthening our future. This is your IHSAA.
Back to the ASN Coaches Show on 917 WEM.
Welcome back to the ASN Coaches Show. Joining me is Ian Stevens on the offensive line. So last night you had a challenge in blocking Michael Thacker, a sophomore that has D1 offers. What do you see as that as being a gaining point last night?
For me, arguably, that's the best defender I have had to face and go up against a lot all year long. You'll see bigger defenders and a lot of solid players throughout the year, but nothing's going to compare to something like that. I mean, New Pound, they're loaded throughout both offensively and defensively. They have a lot of stellar players that can really come out and play. So for me, I like to take pride in a matchup like that. I didn't win every play. I didn't lose every play. But it's one of those things where I can build off of. There's a lot of stuff to gain. He has a lot of knowledge from the skill level he's at to bring to me that I can pick up to learn how to defend in the future. But he's a stellar player, had great moves he liked to use. So it made my job challenging. But, I mean, it's not really a fun game if something isn't challenging you. So although the outcome not how we'd like it, it was really a fun matchup going up against him, as you mentioned. Couple offers from Tennessee, Ball State, and only a sophomore, so a lot of talent in his future. A very respectable guy to go up against, and it was a fun matchup.
So the O-line had a tough challenge blocking that entire defensive line. How do you think it opened your eyes and your teammates' eyes?
After the first half, I mean, you look at the first half, we weren't able to put up any points at all. We allowed a couple sacks, and from the offensive line perspective, we hate when our quarterback gets hit. So at halftime, we were all really fired up, kind of agitated at each other about the whole game. So we really had to dial things back in. We saw how much our quarterbacks were getting hit, our receivers, a lot of different things. So we had to dial up what – I mean, it's going to keep happening, as Coach Richmond always says. If you find yourself in a hole, the first best thing you can do is quit digging. So we had to stop digging, find a way to get in front of our guys, and really just buy the quarterback and receivers enough time to make a play. So – the second half turned around a lot better than the first, but that first half, that's two full quarters, 24 minutes of football, that really can make a difference in a game.
So last night we saw a new face on the line, Luke Graham, who's actually a freshman. How do you think he played in that game?
I think Luke coming in there as a freshman, not many freshmen ever get a starting role their first year in high school. So for him, a remarkable moment. He'll remember that game for a while. I hope for me, I was just able to be out there and kind of be a mentor for him. I've been at it for a couple of years now and trying to bring him along the way. Going up against Thacker for him as well and a lot of their solid defender players. For him, it's not an easy task, but he did well. He had a good pass pro, did a great job defending it and building a pocket for the quarterback. The run plays, a couple plays we both messed up on, just a lack of communication between us, but we fixed that after each play. We kind of regained everything, told each other what we need to work on, and really just trying to coach him up. But for him, the sky's really the limit. Just a freshman, he's got a lot of potential.
So you mentioned Luke Graham getting his first varsity start as only a freshman. There's been a couple freshmen that we've seen this year getting some varsity playing time, and Rylan Kiesling as well. So what does that say to you as a senior looking at this freshman class, knowing that you have two freshmen that have played varsity minutes already?
It's really kind of eye-opening for anybody. It means your spot's never secure. A lot of people think, oh, they're just a freshman, they're not going to take my spot, until they do. For him, he was starting over sophomores, juniors, and seniors last night. But you have to give credit to him. He's been putting in the work. And Kiesling last week, he had a stellar performance at Greenfield. Didn't really expect to get in as much, but when he got in, he embraced the moment. He wasn't timid. He got after it. Kiesling's definitely been a fun player to watch. An outside linebacker as well as a tight end, really going both ways. And tight end, not only could he catch the ball, he's a wonderful blocker. He can get his guys upfield and create the holes and everything that the running backs and quarterbacks are needing to read. So just seeing the freshman class right now, their freshman class, they're an interesting class. They have a lot to build off of and grow as a group individually. But some of the players that we're seeing step into varsity roles are really bright potential guys that not only can they build upon themselves, they're going to reflect on their grade individually and bring those guys up with them.
Okay, and you had mentioned earlier lack of communication between you and Luke on a couple plays, and it looked like at some points there was lack of communication throughout the whole offensive line, and obviously getting one penalty of a man upfield. So how does that show you guys still have stuff to work on?
I mean, there's always going to be stuff to work on. There's stuff to work on when you lose by 40. There's stuff to work on when you win by 40. So it's about mainly ID in the front. You have to ID, want their stack, they're running an even stack, odd, whatever it may be. You got to make sure everybody on the line knows what it is. You watch film, you scout out your opponent all week long, so you have a good idea of when they're going to throw in a twist or bring a backer. So, and they even give signals. They'll have a leg up or a little bit outside. You know they're coming in. So you just got to communicate that with your guys. And for linemen at least, it's you have five or six guys, including a tight end out there, that if they don't know what's going on and one side of the line gets blown up, then what's the point in the other side of the line doing their work when they're going to allow a guy on the backside? So just to communicate better is definitely going to be a big focus moving forward.
In your opinion, how do you think the first drive in the offense could have been played differently?
I think overall maybe came out a little bit timid. We saw a couple sacks early on that we could have definitely built off of and changed right there. We hesitated. We had them on a couple plays. They got us on a couple plays. But then you take a look at the second half, for instance. Same starting line that we saw the very first play of the game. And we moved them around that third quarter, able to find the end zone. So it's all about more of a mindset. I don't know if everybody wasn't locked in, communication wasn't right. But third quarter, we definitely came out and got after it. But that first, just the first half in general, we got to be able to piece together play by play to grow.
So as you're talking about second half, so in that halftime locker room, what changed and came out in the half after halftime and you scored for Isaac Wilson throwing to Caden Sims?
Just overall, I think at halftime, we were all, you're down 35 to nothing. Everybody's kind of upset with each other, upset at themselves. So the locker room, a lot of people angry and fired up. And then coach really just kind of came in and put a point blank to us that we're not playing to our potential, that we can play with these guys and compete, but how the rate we were playing, we were just letting them punch us without us punching them. So that was kind of a changer for us. We all kind of flipped a switch, came out, we got the ball to start off the third quarter, and took that drive all the way to the end zone. Great pass pro that bought Wilson enough time to throw the ball downfield and a couple big pass plays, and then followed by that touchdown.
So New Pal never really taking their foot off the gas pedal in that first half, still pounding it to you with a tough challenge on that defensive front. So how do you guys think you changed from first quarter letting up a couple sacks to the second quarter protecting Isaac more?
I think we were able to read what they were throwing at us a little bit better. But after the first quarter, you're getting a feel out for your opponent. You can scout him, but until you're fit or actually in front of him blocking him, you're trying to pick up on some of his most common moves. For Thacker, he's good at placing his hands. He'd put his hands on you, and he'd try to throw you left or right and do a little dip and rip action on you. So after you figure out what he's going to do and how to stop that, that's going to be your best way to stop something like that. So first quarter, you're really trying to feel in for the game, have the best way to stop your opponent. Then the second quarter, I think we did a lot better. Started getting better, not great. Then the third quarter, we pieced everything that we should have been working on in the first half and finally closed that in. And we saw the result of the touchdown there in that third quarter.
So that will do it for this segment of the Coach's Show. Thank you, Ian.
Yep, no problem.
Up next will be Coach Trout talking about the defense of last night. 91.7 WEEM.
The WEEM Morning Show is on 91.7 WEEM every Tuesday through Friday morning from 5 to 7 a.m. Make sure you tune in to listen to Bella Myers
and Kennedy Quinn talk about everything that has to do with the first half of the day. 91.7 WEEM.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
We're here!
Whoa! That was fast!
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Back to the ASN Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
Welcome back to the ASN Coaches Show. Joining me and Michael is Coach Trout. Hello, Coach Trout.
Good morning, fellas.
As defense was tasked with a tough offense, how did the defense progress as the game went on?
Well, adjusting to their speed was one of the biggest things we had to do. They're so fast all over the field. In all three phases, they're super fast, and they apply a lot of pressure to you. So, first of all, being able to recognize that speed and making adjustments as we went.
So we saw good defense forever on the first defensive drive. That brought out a fake punt, but they completed that pass. What do you see from the defense in the first quarter?
Oh, we were aggressive. We did what we wanted to do. Coach Huth called a great game. He got guys in spots in our movement, caused some problems for him. We had several unblocked players be able to make plays. The run game, we really were able to put a big stop on, which, you know, forced them to pass. Unfortunately, they've got a quarterback that can really throw the ball, and he's a special talent. And they completed a couple of those balls and a couple for big plays.
All right, so you mentioned the run game was stopped, and you guys held Grayson Thomas, a stellar running back in your guys' conference, to only 83 yards last night. So how does that show you that you can contain that run?
Well, we were pretty sound in our gap fits, which was great. We missed a couple tackles. We weren't terrible in tackling last night. We were pretty good. We were a little tall. And he's that kind of running back that if you tackle him around the shoulder pads, he's gonna break the tackle. So when we were tackling with good technique and when we were filling in with the gaps, it was fun to watch our defense fly around. And we did stop them and force them into some things that they didn't want to do.
All right, and you had mentioned amazing speed out of their receivers, and one of those receivers being Isaiah Thacker, who had 5 catches for 146 yards. So how do you think that showed a challenge to the secondary and especially the corner that was covering him most of the time?
Well, and it was corners and safeties. I mean, he scored on a long post route, which would be a combination coverage for a corner and safety. When he pressed us and ran vertical on a skinny post, I mean, he's by, and the quarterback was talented enough to get it in the hole. I mean, I think 60-some yards of that was on one play that he had. So, he's special. I mean, the Thacker brothers are very special. I mean, they're special athletes. 52, almost blocked 2 of our punts last night. I mean, they're special talents, and you really have to be aware of their speed and their abilities.
Yeah, so last night the secondary, as you said, faced a tough challenge against New Pal. So what did you see the change in the first half to the second half in the coverage?
Well, we did a nice job. We did a nice job disguising our coverages at times, which caused the quarterback, just a pause for a second, which allowed – one time it allowed Eli Arthur a quarterback pressure and then a sack, and one time Siddiqui got in there. So, some of those things that we worked, we really played some good complementary football. And I felt like in the second half, we just kind of pinned our ears back, and played tough like we knew we could and just did. We won the second half, but we felt like there were times where we could have put a stop to some drives in the first half and really changed the way that the halftime really looked.
So, Nolan Saunders had that interception in the second quarter. How does that change the mentality, not for only the offense but the defense, for the next few drives?
Well, it showed everyone that, if we just do our jobs and be ourselves, we can play. And Nolan's been doing that all season. And their quarterback was scrambling to make a play, and Nolan jumped underneath a deep scramble route and took the ball away from the kid. It was a phenomenal play. He did a great job, you know, and that's after no one had given up a long pass. So, I mean, kudos to him on, you know, being mentally strong. And there aren't very many kids as mentally tough as Nolan is, and coming back and making a play. And he did that all night.
So last night the game was really, really loud. So next week you play on your homecoming against Mount Vernon. So what do you see going from a loud game against New Palestine to a loud game against Mount Vernon?
Well, I would expect this coming week to be that much bigger and louder than last week. Last night was a great crowd. I mean, phenomenal. It was awesome. I'm on top of the press box. I get to see it. You know, you can kind of feel the atmosphere from a different perspective than on the field. But I would expect for it to be, I mean, exponentially more, because we've got the parade. We've got the best high school parade in the country. We've got all the anniversary team coming back. We've got, you know, all the little kids are going to be there, and it's homecoming. So, I mean, I would expect for it to be the noise to be a definite factor, and hopefully a positive on our side.
So you had mentioned you were up in the press box and you could see the whole field. So from your point of view, how do you think maybe switching up coverages before the snap and swinging all of your defensive backs, how do you think that really confused the quarterback, if it did?
Well, New Pal does a lot of check with me on the sideline. You know, they don't huddle. They'll get to the line. They'll freeze. Coach calls a play from the sideline. So us changing things up just changed the picture. Quarterback's expecting one picture. We give him a different picture, and if it just slows him down for a second or a half second, it's enough time for us to possibly react and make a play, or at least cause them to have an incompletion. I mean, there are times last night they made phenomenal plays, and if it's just an incompletion, you don't know what kind of a ball game it is. I mean, they were able to complete some of those, and if we're able to disrupt that in any way, that's a positive for us.
So one of the only times this season Daniel Thacker's been sacked. What do you see out of the shots that you were able to get to him?
We got to him. I want to say we got to him. Whether we hit him or actually sacked him, I think we got to him five times last night. And really, I felt like we could. I didn't know if we'd be able to, because he's so talented. He didn't take sacks. I mean, he's football IQ. He's a junkie, and he is able to throw a ball away. He's able to avoid a sack with his athleticism. He's able to scramble on the run and throw the ball. So the fact that we were able to do that really did say a lot about the defensive line. Coach Huth calling a good game, and then some of the little blitzes and stunts that we ran to get into his face.
So Siddiqui Traore going up against a four-star offensive lineman who's a D1 commit, how does that just change the game for him, just trying to get through that offensive line?
Well, Siddiqui's speed is an advantage, and in addition to his speed, he's as long as he is fast, and his football IQ in reaction time is just awesome. So he did a really nice job last night, especially when they were reading him on the option, where the tackle would try to get to the linebacker. He squeezed it down and made a couple nice plays in the backfield. I mean, Siddiqui had a really, really, really good game last night.
So that will do it for this segment of the ASN Coach Show. Thank you, Coach Trout.
Thanks, guys.
Up next will be Coach Richmond talking about what happened last night for offense and defense. 91.7 WEEM.
Investing in education-based athletics builds strong communities and a strong, successful Indiana.
That's because when we support education-based athletics, we're not only supporting Hoosier student-athletes, we're championing the next generation of doctors, CEOs, and engineers, not to mention future teachers, first responders, and civil servants. I'm Brian Lewis.
And I'm Chris Kaufman. We're both assistant commissioners of the Indiana High School Athletic Association.
High school sports are the training ground for our future community leaders, impact makers, and world changers.
When we invest in student athletes, we're teaching them the importance of serving others selflessly.
leading them to become engaged, compassionate citizens who pay it forward and continue building a positive future for Indiana and beyond.
Support the next generation of Hoosier difference makers by buying a ticket to your high school's athletic events.
This is serving our community. This is strengthening our future. This is your IHSAA.
The WEEM Morning Show is on 91.7 WEEM every Tuesday through Friday morning from 5 to 7 a.m. Make sure you tune in to listen to Bella Myers
and Kennedy Quinn talk about everything that has to do with the first half of the day. 91.7 WEEM.
Back to the ASN Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
Welcome back to the ASN Coach Show. Joining me and Michael is Coach Richmond. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me this morning.
So looking at last night's game, you said that it was the first time New Pal has been sacked all year. What does that show about your team?
Well, I think, I was pretty proud of our kids last night. I mean, it was frustrating. You know, anytime you lose, it's frustrating. But I said it last night on the radio. I love these guys. I think we showed some things that as I've watched it now three times, I've seen you could see who you are in there. And that was kind of my challenge all week is who are we, you know, and that's tough. Sometimes you can't see the forest for the trees, but, I saw an awful lot in our guys last night. And that sack's one little example. I mean, we achieved some things we were emphasizing, and that, you know, we did some things on the line of scrimmage at times that were positive. They're awfully good on both sides of the ball, so that's a tough line of scrimmage.
So Isaac Wilson didn't do very well in the first half, but then coming out in the second half and started mm-hmm. to take control of the team. So he made more quality passes in the second half,
sure.
And the run was also starting to work. How does that show Isaac is starting to become one of the main roles, of like being a main role model of the team?
You know, I thought he did, maybe statistically it wasn't pretty offensively in the first half, but he showed a lot of moxie. He was 10 for 20 for the game, 128 yards, and he threw a couple picks, not good there. You know, he's got better ball placement, and at the same time, though, he really ignited us offensively there in the second half, and even in the first half. I thought the receivers did a good job. I thought our timing was better. I thought our cohesiveness was better. Nate DeRolf came to play. Jalen Jordan came to play. Reese Reddington came to play. Caden Sims came to play. I was really proud of those guys and how they competed all night.
So you had mentioned some of your receivers last night. How do you think Isaac having such great targets and two of them being juniors, one a sophomore, and losing one next year and one being a senior, how do you think him being able to rely on them to make a play for him is helpful to the team?
Well, we definitely spread the ball around, right? And we got it to him, but they took it. You know, I mean, last week, these are the same guys that they didn't enjoy the film session very well, you know, last week. So they're the same guys, and they're the same guys that show up every day and work their butts off. And, I thought they made our DBs better this week, too. We've got to continue to do that. The competition between secondary and receivers is really positive. You know, you mix in a Jacob Rowley, too, and you mix in a Keaton Jones and, Jackson Grile. Those guys, they do a good job. They get in there and they fight and claw and scratch. And it wasn't pretty this week at times. One of our worst sessions they felt on Wednesday. So at the same time, though, they went out and they competed. I was really proud of them. I mean, it gives Isaac confidence. I mean, you know, if we can get the running backs and the O-line playing with that type of consistency, now that's called an offense. So hopefully that's something you guys will see in the future here.
All right, so switching back over to the defensive side of the ball, the defense came out strong and stopped New Pal on the first drive, but then slowed down, allowing 35 points in that first half.
Yeah.
Then changing it in the second half and only allowing 7 while you guys put up another 7 and winning 14 and winning that half, in my opinion. So how does that defense coming out in the second half and being strong, competing against one of the best offensive teams in the state, only allowing 7 points?
Well, I mean, it's a little misleading. I mean, I appreciate your positivity this morning, but those guys are the real deal.
So we can compete with them, but we've got to decide we want to. And that's kind of where I would spin it to you, Michael. I mean, we these guys, you know, there's a reason we bench press and clean and squat. And New Pal has got a phenomenal strength program, and they inflict that on their opponents. We do not right now for some reason. We don't apply what we're working so hard, you know, to get. And you can see it up front, you know. Guys like Reese Schnepp are outstanding workers in the weight room. He's an outstanding worker out here in practice, and he's one of the best kids in our locker room. And then I don't see his bench press at all at left guard last night. You know what I mean? When we needed it most against guys that need to be pushed around. That doesn't mean he didn't play hard, but you can see there's no push we're catching, you know? And it's not just Reese because he played his butt off. You know what I mean? But that's, again, last week we talked about playing hard, but that's not good enough, you know? That's like saying on the kickoff, after we scored, that we let him go about 80 yards and then score again. We're in position to make a play. We don't make a play. So, we sprinted down the field, though. You know what I mean? Gosh, we were flying. And then they flew right by us. So what's, you know what I mean? Like, we've got to be better. We've just got to be better at what we're doing. And kids want it, but you can want in one hand and spit in the other, and the spit's going to fill up faster. So, like, you know, that's life. I mean, it's hard out there. It's you got to have your head on a swivel, and you got to be ready for whatever comes your way. And I would like to see us apply all that we're working so hard for more consistently. That's what I'm trying to get out of these guys, because they work their butts off. Attitudes are great, and we've got to go back, and we've got to keep working on those things. And as boring, as monotonous as some of the fundamentals are, we're not applying them at times when we need them most, you know. It's all fixable, which is good, but against really good teams, and we're going to see some special athletes this coming week, man, we've got to be dialed in, and we've got to make sure we execute.
So Nolan Souders having a great interception in the second quarter. How does that change the mentality for the offense and the defense?
Well, you know what I saw with him is he got beat for a touchdown too. So he had a short memory, showed a lot of mental toughness, you know. I that's the thing. I saw guys come out, and guys were fired up, and they were upset about that first half. But you know what? We don't have to be upset. When we finally decide that we want to compete, then you don't have to be upset. You can just play ball, you know. And I thought he showed a lot of resilience, but that's what I expect of Nolan. I mean, he's a tough-minded kid. He's a tough kid. And, I mean, he's another guy, man. He comes every single day with that lunch pail mentality, and he's ready to work and ready to hustle. And against a guy that might be superior, you can't be outside alignment when you're supposed to be inside. He'll catch a post for a touchdown. I mean, that's the way it goes. And then if your safety doesn't do what he's supposed to do, and he stops his feet and reads the other side instead of getting back and getting inside, well, now we're really in trouble. And number 22 made us pay last night. Number 12 made us pay. I mean, you got to be where you're supposed to be as a team. That's why it's the greatest team game. It really is. You know, take nothing away from basketball or anything other sports, but my goodness, we got 11 moving pieces every play. You know what I mean? And it's a pretty awesome thing to watch these guys do it. But against superior programs like New Pal, I mean, you cannot give them that little wrinkle, because they're going to take advantage of it and flatten it right out.
So that will do it for this segment. Up next, we'll have Coach Fishman talk about next week coming in playing Mount Vernon. Thank you, Coach Fishman.
Thank you.
Coming back on ASN Coach Show 91.7 WEEM.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid.
Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake?
No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development?
Nuh-uh.
You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Is life too boring for you?
Well, that changes now.
Tune in to the conversation with Afternoon Pick Me Up every Tuesday through Friday from 3 to 5 p.m.
91.7 WEEM.
Back to the ASN Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
Back to the ASN Coach Show. Joining me, Michael, is Coach Richmond. Thank you for joining us.
Glad to be here.
So next week is your homecoming, and how do you think having all the energy from the fans, how do you think it'll help the team perform with an extra boost?
Homecoming's pretty special here, and I thought last night we had a phenomenal showing of support, and New Pal always travels well. I mean, you know, that's the thing. You take a look around, and it's nostalgic, I know. But, man, it's a blessing to coach in this community. It's such an honor to lead this program. And, you know, I just was so proud of what you saw last night. You know, you got little kids running around everywhere wanting to play football. And you got a big band, and you got cheerleaders, and you smell popcorn in the air. And, it's a little bit of America, you know what I mean? And it's awfully humbling to be a part of that. And homecoming is just that, too. And, you know, we've just got to keep perspective on what our role is and enjoy the moment. But at the same time, really, really maximize our opportunity here and get to go against a rival. You know, you get to go against Mount Vernon, and it's week 6 already. So it's going to be a fun night, and it's going to be a fun week. And we just got to keep our heads straight and stay focused at times on what we're supposed to be dialed in on, and hopefully it'll all be good.
So coming off probably the hardest game in your schedule, how does that change the mentality for your team going in further in the weeks?
You know, not to twist your words, I don't know if this is the hardest game in our schedule. You know, I mean, I thought we played awfully well at times last night. They are, by all means, the best team right now we've seen. But if we'd have played with the same energy and effort that we showed last night, I don't know who would have beat us. I mean that in a very humble way. Take nothing away from Greenfield or Lebanon. But if we'd have played like we played last night, even with our mistakes, our effort, you know, we played to their level. That's what I would give New Pal the respect on. And even though fundamentally or assignment-wise we might not have executed very well, the energy and the effort was better than the week before. And I don't know, I can't tell you why that is, but it's one of those things that when you find yourself fighting the champ like they are and like we will be this week, I mean, let's remind everybody, Mount Vernon's the state champs. You got to rise to the level of your opponent, and felt like we did that. I think sometimes in the past we've slipped to the level of our opponent too. And so it's that consistency that I keep harping on that we've got to have, and the maturity. Some of these guys now have started 15 games, including last year, you know. They're no longer young. We use those words sometimes like we've got a young nucleus. Well, I think they've learned a few lessons in those 15 games, and that's a lot of football to be played. So they got to start stepping up, and they got to start producing. That's their responsibility, and that's really my challenge this week for us and what I'm looking forward to with another week of preparation.
So you had mentioned Mount Vernon being one of your rivals, one of your biggest, if not the biggest, and they're playing on the homecoming, and they're also the reigning state champs. So how would you put this as one of your big games to prepare for this season?
Yeah, I mean, this is the one you think about in the middle of winter. Everybody's got their game, though, you know. I mean, your game, Michael, might be a different one, you know. I mean, maybe another kid, you know, Yorktown, or maybe another guy, Delta. Our conference is awesome, you know. I mean, it's a really, really good football conference. It's a high level of football being played. And so that's why we got to keep it consistent week to week. No one game is bigger than the other. I didn't feel like the moment got to us last night. I didn't feel like it's gotten to us at any point in the season. I mean, we weren't overwhelmed, or we weren't intimidated. We weren't scared. I didn't sense any fear in our kids last night, and that's not to say we don't respect them, you know what I mean? That's not to say we didn't recognize how big some of their guys were, but our guys played with them. I mean, Siddiqui, very undersized D lineman, he played right with those big boys, you know. On the flip side of things, our offensive line, you know, Luke Graham, man, I was really proud of him. Freshman starting at right tackle last night. He's going against a really good defensive lineman, you know, first play of the game. You know, he doesn't blink. Now, we didn't pick up the scraping linebacker, but we came off the ball on the D lineman, you know. Rylan Keasley, another freshman out there again. I mean, Nate DeRolf, sophomore, making plays all over the field. I mean, I was really proud of him. Thought he showed a lot of guts and toughness, and we need more of that. He brings that edge every day to practice, and I coach him hard, and man, he's a absolute weapon for us, and I'm just I'm excited to get back out here and coach these guys again this week, and it doesn't matter who we're playing. I just want to play somebody again. So,
all right, so you mentioned some of your young guys and a couple of freshmen and sophomores. Well, Mount Vernon has their own freshman starting at quarterback in Luke Ertl. So how do you think you – as a team will be prepared for him?
Well, I think last night Breidenthal started, which you didn't know, but he's a pretty good player too. He's a Division I baseball player, I believe going to IU. And so after the Mount Vernon game, we'll still see that freshman in there probably, but they put their best player at quarterback. And so, you know, they're going to run their stuff. I mean, I know Coach Jacobs well, who calls their offense, and obviously head coach, Coach Lighty. They're going to bring a lot of pressure on defense. I mean, they are going to come in here, and they're going to try to get after us right from the get-go, you know. If they could blitz from the bus, getting off the bus, they would, you know. If they could run a wheel route and some motion at us getting off the bus, they would. I mean, that's what they do. And we got to expect quarterback run this week, and we got to expect them to get their playmakers the ball. That's what they did last night against Delta. So, you know, that's where I'd come from, is it doesn't matter who the quarterback is. It doesn't matter who we're playing. Again, we got to focus on us, and we got to correct some of those little things last night. If we keep improving, sky's the limit for the tournament, and that's our ultimate goal.
So after the loss in New Pal, how does your team feel that you outscored Mount Vernon against New Pal, and how does it change your team's mentality heading into next week?
I love how positive you guys are this morning. You're doing a really good job. I mean that. Like, that's a good question, but we scored 14 points against them, and they scored 6. So I don't know if that's I don't know if that's bragging rights or not. I had one of the guys from Nine Star say that last night, and I don't know quite how to handle that. Congratulations, you scored more than most have on them. Well, that's, you know, I mean, they're the best defense we've seen, you know, New Pal. And Coach Lighty and Mount Vernon have had our number the last few games. I mean, we played them really close there for 3 years, but we haven't beat these guys in a while. And I'm not so much worried about winning Friday as I am getting better so that we got the chance to win. And that sounds very coach-esque, but that's just how it is. And, you know, I'd play these guys in the parking lot right now if we could. That's kind of how I feel this morning. So, I'm excited. You know, I respect them, and there's no love lost, that's for sure. But we respect the heck out of them, and they're the state champs until proven otherwise. So
that will do it for the ASN Coaches Show. Thank you, Coach Wisham, for joining us.
Hey, seriously, you guys did a good job this morning. Go Arabians.
Next week we'll be homecoming for Mount Vernon. Come and join us then. Thank you, Ian Stevens, for getting us on live this morning, 91.7 WEEM.